All right, how's everybody doing this morning? Glad to be here and awesome being here today to worship God. Hey, on top of that, let's welcome all those who are online right now watching in Michigan, California, Arkansas, Georgia, North Carolina, all over the place. It's amazing. We love you guys. Hey, I want to give you a heads up about those who are online, but also those of us in the room. We are going to change our online format and even make it even better, better quality, even more personable. And here's how we're going to do that. We're going to bring everything together starting in February to riverchristian.church/online. So everything is going to be right there at one location. We're bringing all, we do different platforms. We're bringing it all to one platform. We're going to get the incredible quality that you don't get on Facebook, but we're even with the interaction that we get on Facebook. And so we're going to encourage all those, if you're away or sick or traveling, and those who are obviously staying away for cause of health reasons, we want to encourage you to go to riverchristian.church/online. And you can actually do that right now, but starting in February, that's the only option there's going to be. So we're giving you 3 weeks heads up notice, all right? So I want to encourage you with that. Also, we are doing our daily Bible reading right now. And I tell you, it's amazing hearing the conversation out there of people who are digging the Word of God. We actually have another 100 Bibles right here, chronological study Bibles from Ethelgar Smith that we're studying, and it's taking the Word of God, putting it in chronological order. And we encourage you, if you haven't gotten one, you can actually buy one. If you guys online want to get one, just message us and we'll make sure we get it to you. And they're $20, great deal. And so we have a whole big batch waiting for you to grab. So last week, you guys just totally emptied us out. And that's a good problem. That's a good problem. So we got a whole another 100 that we just brought in. So I'm encouraged by that. And we're going to continue our study. And those who don't have the Bible, you can actually stay up to speed with us. Just go to riverchristian.church/daily Bible. Really simple. You'll see the schedule that we're all following. And you can stay with us because we're preaching, for the most part, in 2021 out of this daily Bible reading. So today we're going to talk about Jacob, and I brought a guest today to kind of help us to talk about Jacob, and his name's Jake. Will you guys give it up for Jake as he's heading up right now, and we're going to need Jake's help on this, all right? So now here's what Jake's going to do. He's going to help us kind of see the life of Jacob. Thank you, Doug. And so what's interesting about Jake is he's been through a few things. I mean, he came in the world, and one thing that really hit him right off the bat was that he was actually not the favorite. His brother, remember his brother's name? His brother Esau. Esau was the favorite. He's the one that's going to get the inheritance, not Jake. And on top of that, it didn't look like this, but out of him was going to have 12 sons. We see the promise that hit Abraham, and this patriarchal system is going to work from one son to the next son, from Abraham to Isaac, and then it's actually going to come out of Jacob. It doesn't look like that, though, at the very beginning. And so it's interesting, as we get started, we see where in the Bible, Jake is a subservient to his brother Esau, and that means that his dad favors his brother over him. And that means that his brother gets the inheritance, not Jake. And it gets worse, because actually he's kind of a deceiver. His name actually means, one translation is heel grabber. He's reaching, he's grabbing the heel. He's actually his twin brother. His twin brother beat him out of the womb first. It says he's grabbing the heels, one theory on that. And so he deceives his brother over a pot of stew, and he ends up getting the birthright. It gets so bad that his brother wants to kill Jake. And so he has to take off and leave. And he goes off to a distant relative. His name is Laban. And there he sees Laban, and he meets Laban, but he also meets something else. He meets someone else, and that is Rachel. And I tell you what, it's interesting because he sees Rachel, and he instantly falls in love. I can't blame him. I've fallen in love with Rachel before as my wife, and love her. And so you can't go wrong marrying a Rachel. And so he says, you know what? I want to marry your daughter, Rachel. Well, that sounds hunky-dory, but Laban says, you know, that's fine, but you're going to have to work for me for 7 years. And it says in the Bible that it only seemed like a few days to Jacob. That's how love is, right? And he works for 7 years, and finally it's wedding night, and he's there with his wife, and he goes to sleep eventually, and his wife right next to him, and he rolls over, and the next day he looks over, and it's not his wife, it's actually his wife's older sister. He married the wrong person. He goes back to Laban. He says, what's up with this? He says, oh, you know, I'm so sorry. Actually, I forgot to tell you 7 years ago. In our culture, you always marry the older one first, not the younger one. He's like, that would have been nice to know. I meant to marry Rachel. The Bible says that Rachel is beautiful, and Leah, it says, has weak eyes. That's what Leah means, weak eyes. And Laban's like, oh, I'm sorry. You wanted the beautiful one. I thought you wanted the weak-eyed one. I'm so sorry. Well, you're going to have to work another 7 years. So he works 14 years total, then he works another 6 years for flocks. And he becomes so successful, God blesses Jacob. And it says this, that Jacob and Laban's family start headbutting. Look what it says right here in Genesis chapter 31. Laban's son starts saying, Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father. And Jacob, look at this, he noticed that Laban's attitude towards him was not what it had been. So Jacob goes to his sister wives. He only meant to marry one. He's got both of them. And he says, I need to talk to both of you right now about your dad. All right? And because here's the thing. Things aren't going well. And here's what he says to his wives, Laban's daughters. You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength. Yet your father has cheated me. He cheated me one time already. I mean, I didn't mean to marry you, but I married you, and he's already cheated me. He cheated me again. He's cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. And God tells Jacob he needs to actually head back home to his relatives. And so he heads back home, and guess who he sees? The very first relative he's going to see on his way home, Esau. Last time he saw Esau, Esau was trying to kill him. And not only that, he gets in a wrestling match with an angel of the Lord who gets so violent, it actually messes up his hip, and he walks with a limp the rest of his life. And he also has a daughter who gets abused and assaulted by a local boy named Shechem. On top of that, he's got 12 sons. Now, how much drama can 12 sons give you, right? I mean, can you imagine 12 sons and 10 of them kidnap his favorite son? Remember, he was not the favorite. And it's kind of interesting how we tend to do the same thing we couldn't stand our parents doing. He does the same thing. He ends up doing the same thing he probably hated his dad did. He favored one son named Joseph, and that son is kidnapped and sent off to Egypt, and he thinks that Joseph is dead. Jacob had quite a life of one problem after another problem after another problem. Now, let's go back to that conversation that he has with Laban, because Laban's not happy that Jacob is taking away his two daughters and all his grandchildren. So let's see what that conversation, how that went down. Here's what Jacob says to Laban. I have been with you for 20 years now, Laban. Your sheep and your goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams from your flocks. I did not bring your animals torn by wild beasts. I pay the price. The loss myself, and you demanded payment for me for whatever was stolen by day or night. This was my situation, Laban. The heat consumed me in the daytime while you're up there drinking sweet tea, and then at night when it was cold, I sleep fled from my eyes. I was like this for 20 years when I was in your household, and I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters, supposed to only be one, but ended up being two for 14 years, and served 6 years for your flocks. You changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away. What, church? You sure he would sent me away empty-handed? Here's a lesson. Here's a quality that Jacob is going to teach us about doing life. It took Jacob a lifetime to gather, a lifetime to learn, and here it is, and he's going to give it to us right now. Faith is spiritual resilience. It's not that you fall, it's when you do fall, will you get back up? Read that with me right now on the count of three, all right? Say it, faith is spiritual resilience. Here we go, 1, 2, 3. Faith is spiritual resilience. It really is. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 24. It says, for a righteous man falls 7 times and does what, church? And does what? Rise again. See, the Bible doesn't say you're never going to fall. It says when the righteous fall, they do what? They rise back up. You see, every one of us gets knocked down. Amen? We all get knocked down. We get knocked down by circumstances. This right here is a circumstance. And a circumstance will come out of you out of nowhere. Just think about a year ago, 2020, you're minding your own business, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, boom, pandemic. I mean, it just comes out of nowhere. It hits you right in the face, right? I mean, you're just walking and all of a sudden a circumstance hits you. You get rocked. But the righteous man, how many times does he get knocked down? How many times? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Get back up. Seven times he gets rocked. You know, there's interesting. I grew up and a big football fan. I met a couple people today. The staffs are talking about being in Chicago. I love watching Chicago Bears growing up. And Chicago Bears is interesting because Walter Payton was the running back. I think he's the greatest running back of all time. And Walter Payton, one commentator said about Walter Payton, said that Walter Payton is amazing because he ran with that football for 5 miles over time. Another commentator said, that's amazing. But what's even more amazing than that? And the guy's like, what could be more amazing than him running 5 miles with that ball? He said, what's more amazing than that is that every time he ran 3.5 yards, he got hit by a guy twice his size, and then he came back up. And then he ran another 3.5 yards, and then boom, he got hit, and then he got back up. And then he ran another 3.5 yards, and boom, he got hit, and he got back up. And he did that for 5 miles. That's what makes Walter Payton one of the greatest of all time. And so it's called resilience. And so here's a question I have when it comes to your faith, and that is spiritual resilient questions. Number one, it's not that you've never fallen. The question is, do you get back up? Do you get back up? Do you learn from it? Or do you stay down? You know what? This is just too hard. It's just too confusing. I mean, if that's the way God's going to love me, then and that's the way life's going to go, then I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm finished. Forget it. We need to understand the importance of resiliency, and especially we look at Jacob. It's going to teach us because Jacob goes 3.5 yards and boom, he's going to get rocked. I mean, think about it. He comes in the world and all of a sudden his dad says, I love your brother more than I love you. Oh, by the way, you're not getting the inheritance. Your brother's getting the inheritance. Oh, and oh, by the way, I want to tell you this right now. You just stole your brother's birthright. He wants to kill you. And now you have to leave your parents. And now you're going to go see this guy named Laban. And you're going to fall in love with this girl named Rachel. She's really good looking. But you're going to fall in love with her. But you're going to get totally suckered and actually marry the wrong person. They have to work another 7 years. And then you're going to work another 6 years, and then you're going to get cheated 10 times, and then on top of that, what's going to happen is you're going to have to leave Laban, and then you're going to have to feast your brother Esau. He hates your guts. He wants to kill you. You're going to actually wrestle an angel. He's going to mess you up, and then your daughter is going to get assaulted, and then your son is going to get kidnapped, and then what's going to happen? A famine is going to come, and then you're going to have to take off and go to Egypt, and then you end up going to die in a distant place called Goshen. But, Jake, if you will hang in there and not give up, I'm going to take a ragtag group, come out of you, and I'm going to make these people into a great nation because you didn't give up. And on top of that, Jake, what's amazing is that thousands of years from now, because you didn't give up, there's going to be people in Fleming Island, Florida, and people who tap into them all around the world, and they're being inspired by somebody who came out of you. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings, and their lives are going to be changed through your family because you did not give up. But, you know, it's interesting because we don't see that, right? We just see the instance. We see the circumstance that's in front of us. And we just think about what's going on right now. But God sees what's happening 1,000 years on either side of you. And you need to know this. And that is God has a promise that he wants to push through you. He wants it to go through you. It says in Jeremiah 29 this. It says, for I know, God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your calamity. No. Plans for you not to be harmed, plans to give you hope and give you a future. Do you know that if you give up right now, what God wanted to run through you to this generation and to the next generation will not take place? That's why the Bible says, and we're going to read in Exodus chapter 34, that the sins of the father go on to the fourth generation. You're like, what's up with that? You know what's up with that? Somebody gave up. That's what that's talking about. And it goes on from one family and one generation to the next. Faith is spiritual resilience. Every 3.5 yards, you're going to get rocked. That's just how life goes. It happens to me. It happens to you. You're going to get knocked down. The question is, will you get back up? The second question is this, and that is, hey, what direction are your feet pointed when you touch ground again? What direction? Because you have a choice. When you touch ground again, and I know the battle seems way long and you wish it was shorter. That's not how it works. It's always longer than we want it to. The question I have is, when you finally get back on the ground again, you have a choice to make. Are you going to run towards the cross or are you running away from the cross? What direction are your feet pointed when you touch ground again? You ask, Nathan, why so many times do I have to get knocked down? Well, one way of looking at it is God has things inside of us that he has to get out so that he can use us even more effectively in the future. He's done it in my life. He's doing it in your life. And it's called refining. And what God is saying is, I've got something I want to pass through you, but you're not ready for it yet. So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to knock it out one hit at a time. And he gets it out of us, and he refines us through these difficult circumstances. I mean, look at Jacob. He comes in the world, and it's communicated, you know what? You're not my favorite. Your brother is. What's that doing? That's working on self-esteem. That's working on confidence. That's working right now on jealousy. And then we see where his control, I mean, Jacob's a deceiver. He's always trying to control, manage things around his life. We see him. We see that get tested. And then we see his patience get tested. And then we see his lust and his greed get tested. And then God deals with each one of those things. And he says at the end of his life, hey, I need you now to go to Egypt. And I believe when that happened, there was kind of a peace over Jacob because he had learned to trust in the Lord. He had learned and he had gathered that his entire life, so much so that all of a sudden what happened, he's kind of, I think, had this resilientness about him that said, you know what, I have a faith and I have a patience to trust in the Lord because he has taught me. And God says, hey, you have no idea what I'm about to do through you. And it changed the world. See, some of you are tempted to give up right now. And you're asking, you know what? Why does he want to build faith? Why does he want to do that? About 10 years ago, I was in my early 30s. And you know when you're in your early 30s, you want to get strong. You know, you want to get big. I wanted to get bigger. Now I just want to get smaller, okay? But back then, I wanted to get bigger. And so I got a trainer, and so I hired him, and he told me, he says, hey, I need you to do 15 reps of this lightweight. And so lightweight is like 400 or 500 pounds, and he's like, well, I'm joking, that's a joke. All right, anyway, so I'm sitting there, I'm doing like 10 reps, all right, 10 reps, and I'm just moving through it like nothing, because that's, you know, I was working out, and that's what, there's no problem at all. 11 and 12, kind of started building up a little sweat. 13, I can start feeling the shakes coming on, right? But I still got it. I get to 13. And then 14, that's when things really started changing. All of a sudden, my body is just totally shaking. I mean, I'm like pulling muscles in my ankle. I'm like, I didn't know I had muscles down there. Why are they even in play here? I mean, and so all of a sudden, I'm just pushing. Everything is going. And finally, you know, he's yelling, push. And I'm yelling, help, you know. And all of a sudden, finally, I'm able to get it up. And then all of a sudden, he says the words I don't want to hear in that moment. That is, one more. I'm like, no, boom, it goes down again. And I get around here, and I'm just like shaking. I mean, just barely off my chest. And he says these words. He says, now you're building muscle. I was like, what was I doing the 14 reps before this? You know, and I'm like, I'm trying to get up, and I'm having a hard time. You know what he does? He doesn't just grab the bar and pull it back up and pull on the rack. You know what he does? He gets down, and he gives a little finger. And he just does that. It's all he does. He just puts a little finger right there. And I'm just like, I'm going, and through that little effort, just that little strength, he gave me just enough power to be able to accomplish my goal. It's interesting because people, you know, hear Christians say this. Christians will oftentimes say, you know, by God's strength, by God's strength. And somehow in people's minds, we think that means I won't have to do anything. Nope. You're going to be shaking. You're going to be grunting. And you're going to do everything you can to push and do what God is telling you to do. But God is going to give you just enough power to overcome by his strength. And he's going to say, now you're building muscle. Now you're building faith. See, some of you are at the 3.5 yard mark right now, and you just got your world rocked. And God's saying, get up. And you're saying, I can't. And God says, get up. And you say, I'm tired. And God says, now I got you where I want you. Now you're building faith. And it's going to be when you leave these walls and a health issue rocks your world. A child lets you down. Someone you love betrays you and you struggle with it. And maybe it's a setback, but God is going to say right then and there, now you're building faith. And what about all those church services, God, I went to, and all those sermons, and all the Bible studies, and all the worship songs? What's that about? And God is saying, man, I have been getting you ready with all that for this challenge right here, right now. And God, you say, well, help me, God. And God says, I will. You will overcome, but I'm not going to take you. I'm not going to take it away from you. I'm refining you through this. It took Jacob a whole lifetime to learn this, but he got it. But here's the truth. We all have quitting points. It might be the 10th or the 11th knockdown. It might not be how many knockdowns. It might be who knocks you down. It might be a parent. It might be a child. It might be a spouse. It might be a friend. But each one of us has a killing spot. You know, I was in a doctor's office, and I looked over one time. He had a Hunter's magazine. I grabbed the magazine. I looked on it, and I was living in Arizona, and it was talking about mule deer. Mule deer are really popular out there, and if you're hunting mule deer, it's saying you want to be at this vantage point, look at this angle, and you want the bullet to go in at this certain spot in the animal so it goes directly and pierces the heart. It's called the kill spot. And then it's got it headed for the other deer and ram and bear. And it was like God was saying in that moment, you know, Nathan, right now in hell, there's a magazine with your photo on it. And it's got your kill spot on that photo. Satan knows exactly where to get you. Satan knows exactly where to hit you. Satan knows exactly where your weakness is. I had a friend of mine tell me one time, you know, Satan's probably not going to hit you in different areas. He knows your kill spot. It's like Satan right now, I'm going to tell you right now, in hell has your photo on it, and he knows right where to hit you. He knows your kill spot. And some of you, it might be your kid. For some of you, it might be your job. For some of you, it might be your health. For some of you, it might be your confidence, and devil knows just the right spot to pierce your heart. And if Satan can accomplish his goal, the promise that God has for your children and for your children's children, the influence that we'll have and you'll have for the community, all gets cut off through you. And some of us are like, if that's how it's going to be, I'm done. If that's how the church is going to treat me, if that's what they're going to say, then I'm just going to move on. If that's how my wife's going to talk to me, I'm out of here. And we have a quitting point, and Satan has that spot in his crosshairs. It's so important to be resilient because it helps you break through the quitting point. And we need to follow Jesus and not follow the setbacks. We need to follow Jesus and not the circumstances. We need to follow Jesus and not the 3.5 yards. I'm done. I'm finished. See, spiritual resilience is so crucial because God has a purpose. And God has a plan for each of you. And I wonder how many of us fall short of that. Because we don't like what God says in his word. Or, you know, it's just faith stuff's just too confusing. And some of you are at the quitting point right now. And you want God to take it away from you. But God is not going to do it. He's saying, now I'm building faith. I think about John 14 and 16. Jesus says that, hey, I brought a comforter, a helper, a guide for you. The Holy Spirit who lives inside of you when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is there for you. You're not alone. Now look at these amazing people in the Bible. Moses, Caleb. We're reading about them right now. Joshua, getting ready to read about him. We're going to read about Ruth and Stephen and Mary. And look at people like Paul. And look at how many times Paul gets knocked down. Look at this scripture. 2 Corinthians, it says this in verse 11. Paul says, 5 times I received from the Jews of 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from the Jews, in danger from people who aren't Jewish like the Gentiles, in danger in the city. We'll go out in the country. Can't do that. In danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I was thinking, you know, what qualities do these people have? People like Job, people like Abraham, people like Noah, people like Deborah, Isaac, amazing men of faith. Here's what they all had in common. One element, here it is. When they fell, they didn't stay down. When they fell, they didn't stay down. They got up again and again and again and again. I think about Paul. Look at Paul. Paul is so down. Look what it says right here in Acts. It says, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city thinking he was dead. Now, I've never been that dead where people thought I was actually dead. I've never been that down before. People probably wish I was dead, but that didn't happen to me. I've never had that happen before. Here this guy is. People think he is dead, but after the disciples had gathered around him, he did what? He did what, church? He did what? He got up. He got up and ran away and got in a fetal position and gave up. No, he went back into the city. It took Jacob a lifetime to learn this, but now he gives it to you and he gives it to me. And there are going to be times when you and I think we're done, but here's why we don't quit. We're getting ready to read in our daily Bible reading. At the end of Jacob's life in Genesis chapter 48, Jacob does something I think is the most powerful, most wonderful thing a parent, a grandparent could do, and that is to pass on the blessing. Every generation is looking for the blessing from the previous generation. And here's what Jacob does. He gathers all his offspring, gathers his children, and he gives a blessing. May the God before my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walk faithfully. The God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. The angel who has delivered me from all harm. May he bless these boys. I don't know about you, but at the end of the line, I want that moment when I can say to my children, I can say to my wife, may he bless my wife, may he bless my kids. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly. I don't want my kids just to have a status quo. I want them to go beyond what things I couldn't even dream of doing. I want my spiritual ceiling to be my kids' foundation. Does that make sense? I want my kids to go on to do even greater things than I could ever do on the earth. And he works his way through all the grandchildren, and it says at the end of it, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father, Jacob, said to them when he blessed them, giving each the blessing appropriate to him. Don't give up. Stay strong because God has so much more planned for you. And if you give up now, you'll never get the blessing. And the blessing will never pass through you. I hired a guy in Phoenix, Arizona as my student pastor. His wife was a professional Ironman athlete. World known, famous. Her name is Amanda. And I asked Amanda, I said, hey, tell me about this whole Ironman thing. She goes around the world, wins competitions, some of them, and she trains 24/7 for these Ironman competitions. And first, you don't know, the first thing you do is you swim 2.4 miles. And then you immediately get on a bike and you bike for 112 miles. Just to give you some perspective, that's right here at this campus, all the way just north of Orlando, all right? And then immediately you get off the bike, and what do? You run a marathon, 26.2 miles. That would be from right here all the way to the exit at St. Augustine. That's how far 26.2 miles is. You do all that in one race. And I was talking to her, and I said, you know what's interesting about all that training you're doing is you're not training for the beginning. I mean, if you've ever run a race, when you start out the start line, man, you're feeling great. It's like $1 million. You know, and at the end of it, I'll be honest with you, you know, you kind of pick it back up. I've seen people walk the whole race, and at the end, they start running. You're like, you know, they start seeing the cameras. They start sucking in their gut. You know, I got to look good, you know. I mean, we don't train for the beginning, and we don't train for the end. Why do you train, Amanda? Why do you put all that practice? Why do you diet? Why are you doing all that? It's for the middle. And let's be honest, you're not at the beginning and you're not at the end. Right now, you're in the middle. And the question is, she said, you train for all that because you're going to hit the wall, she says. You hit the wall, and all that practice is for that time, that moment when you hit the wall, and all that training happens so you can push through the wall. Many of you right now, you're at a wall. I mean, you've hit a wall. All those thousand sermons and songs and Bible studies, you've done all that. Why? Why have you done that? To equip yourself spiritually for that moment when you hit that wall and you say, I'm done. So don't quit. Jacob, like people like Paul and Jesus, here's what they got to say at the end. I endured hardship. My time for departure is near. And I can't wait to say this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now in store for me is a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. For that moment right now in the middle of the race, that moment when you hit the wall and you say, I'm done with this marriage. That moment when you say, I'm done with this faith stuff. Why is this happening with me? God says, this is the moment. This is the moment for all those church services. This is the moment for all those Bible studies and all those songs. Right now, this is what you've been practicing for. This is what you've been training for. Now, you're building faith. Because the blessing I want to pass through you is going to require more faith. I can't take you the way you are now. I need you to get to this point. I love you too much to leave you the way you are, but I love you also too much to let the blessing intended for you to be dropped. So, I will help you. Now, get back up. Here at RCC, we don't want to give up because God has so much to do through us. Amen, church? And the blessings intended to pass through us is not about us. As Jacob found out, it's about a lot more people than you. It's for the generation now, for the generations that come in behind us, right here in this community and all around the world. Let's be a people who always say, yes, I'm getting back up. Amen. Will you stand right now? Will you stand with me? Let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, I know people in this room right now are hitting a wall. There's people here right now that are saying, I don't want to get back up. There's people right now that have been let down and they've been hurt. They're discouraged. They're tired. They're confused. And Lord, I pray, God, today can be a day when they start making some steps to get back up. Lord, realizing that the blessing is just around the corner. And Lord, if we will not give up, Lord, not only will we be blessed, armies of people who come behind us will be blessed. And Lord, I pray that we'll always be known for being resilient and being faithful, no matter the cost. Lord, I pray right now over those of us who feel like giving up right now in a marriage, who feel like giving up on a relationship, who feel like giving up right now on a calling that you put in our heart years ago. I pray right now for those who feel like giving up for their faith, Lord, that right now I pray that you'll inspire them to take one more step and get back up. Lord, thank you so much for using our little mustard seed of faith, and Lord, and bringing down mountains because of that. Lord, we offer our little faith to you right now as we get back up, and Lord, may the blessing rain down on us with that choice. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, and the whole church said, amen. If there's any way it could be a blessing to you, we want to be there for you. Maybe right now you feel like giving up. You can fill out that response card and take it to the cross. Maybe right now you need prayers. Or you know somebody else who's about to give up. You can take their name to the cross. You guys online can actually fill out riverchristian.church/connect. We will lift those names up. Maybe today you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Say, you know what? I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight anymore. I need God's strength through those walls I'm hitting. You need Jesus Christ. Why don't you accept him right now? Let us know that by going to the cross and filling out that card. Let's go to God right now as we sing to him. A song called Let the Light Shine In. It's time to let the glory, the King of Glory, in so that we will not get up, church. Let's praise him right now.